Welcome back once again to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Coming to you live from West Virginia University and their Data Marketing Communications program. The only program that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and modern marketing practice. The whole faculty of people that seem to understand this confusing new world we've entered into, including our host today, Michael Lynch. Welcome.
Welcome. How are you doing today?
Oh, well, you told me the topic and my head started spinning already here. We're going to talk about LinkedIn. I don't get LinkedIn at all.
You know, it's a platform that has a lot of different uses for a lot of different audiences. And we are very lucky today to actually have an expert in that area, Anthony Giuliano. How are you doing today, Anthony?
I'm great. Hello, gentlemen, and good afternoon.
Anthony, just right off the top, who should be engaging with LinkedIn? Who could get the most benefit out of it?
Well, the obvious answer is job seekers and recruiters, but it goes way beyond that. Really, anyone who has a service to promote, specifically in the B2B environment, can benefit from LinkedIn. It is really a place where people go not just to find jobs, not just to find talent, but to find people who can be resources to them in their professional lives. So anyone who can be a resource to another professional, primarily in the B2B environment, that's who should be using LinkedIn.
Excellent. Our program here is sponsored by West Virginia University. How could institutions like West Virginia University utilize LinkedIn, and how can they use it for their benefit?
Well, there's tremendous possibilities in higher ed, and I think LinkedIn is decidedly underappreciated in the higher ed space. LinkedIn has the potential to help them reach the families of traditional prospects, parents, and other influencers, has the opportunity to help them reach non-traditional and graduate school prospects, which is becoming more important to many higher ed institutions as they look for new revenue streams and to look beyond just traditional prospects. It's great for connecting with alumni and connecting students with alumni. It's great for employer partners, advisory boards, and the like. And it's really good for reaching out to the community at large. Now, I want to say LinkedIn will not get you in front of everyone, but for higher ed institutions, it can help them reach just about every audience except for traditional prospects, because many of their traditional prospects, high school kids, aren't really yet on LinkedIn. But most of the other audiences that higher ed institutions need to connect with, you're going to find them on LinkedIn, and you're going to find them very focused and intentional on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Well, what do you think are some of the misconceptions, possibly, that some of these institutions of higher education have that keep them from really fully engaging in LinkedIn?
Yeah, I think there's two primary problems. One is something I just mentioned, in that most people believe that LinkedIn doesn't have a lot of utility unless you're looking for a job or looking to hire. That's simply not the case. So that's number one. The other issue with LinkedIn is it's really different than most other social media platforms, in that the use of LinkedIn is best distributed throughout the organization. What I mean by that is, on a platform like Facebook or Instagram, you're generally going to have marketing in control of the conversation. It's going to be the institution speaking with one voice, largely marketing, to all of its audiences, and that gets the job done. On LinkedIn, doesn't work that way at all. The company page has some value, but it's way less impactful than the actions taken by individuals in the organization with their LinkedIn networks. The collective impact of that is huge. So it's a little scary for marketing folks, because they got to let the reins go a little bit, and they have to collaborate with their teams, give them good content to share, educate them about how to use LinkedIn and why it matters. And that's very different than how marketing folks go about using just about every other social media platform.
Excellent. I know in my position at a couple of the universities I'm associated with, I really encourage my students to sign up for LinkedIn and actually link into me. I know many professors, both at West Virginia University and other universities, have a number of outside contacts, corporate contacts, industrial contacts, et cetera, that really could be valuable to the students. Should students treat LinkedIn differently than they treat, let's say, some of the other social media platforms they might be on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. When college students are transitioning from social media for just their social lives to social media for their professional lives, that's a huge change. And it is, I think, a lot more complex and difficult than we who are older, those of us who, like myself, didn't grow up with social media. I don't think we appreciate how complex and how challenging that is, the transition that college students are making. But it's imperative that faculty and staff at colleges and influencers from other areas, their parents, leaders in their communities, talk to them about why it is so important to make that shift. And it's too late to do it in May of your graduating year. You want to begin building that network and building relationships starting early on in college. And absolutely, you want to treat LinkedIn differently than the other platforms. Facebook is play. Instagram is play. Snapchat is play. LinkedIn is work. The great opportunity for students, though, is to share content on LinkedIn, because they're learning stuff every day. They can talk about what they're learning to position themselves not as college students, but as experts in what they're studying. That's the real opportunity, and that's what I try to encourage my students to do in the classes that I teach and the students that I run into otherwise.
Well, why do you think colleges, or how do you think colleges might benefit from really investing in more time and more effort in LinkedIn? And specifically, what can they do to really become more engaged with LinkedIn and really use it as a platform for growth, program growth, and even student growth?
Yeah, I'm going to answer the second question first and then come back to the first question second, if you will. The main thing is to have a plan to get marketing, admissions, HR, career services, and alumni relations and development and community outreach all working together to sit down at a big table and say, we have a great opportunity on LinkedIn. We don't want to step on each other's toes. We have one company page, but we have, in many cases, thousands of individual profiles that we can make use of if we train our people, if we have a plan, and if we understand what's possible on LinkedIn. So it starts with a plan. It starts with a strategy for using the platform, and not just saying, well, we'll do LinkedIn when we get around to it, because, as you know, you never get around to that stuff. So it really is about having a plan. And there's infinite examples of how LinkedIn can impact universities, but some of the best are alumni relations, staying in touch with alumni, understanding where have they gone in their career, and then highlighting the folks who are doing well, getting them reconnected to the institution. That's one. Career services, obviously, huge impact. I'm fortunate to work with a number of institutions that make great use of LinkedIn that have students lined up for jobs before graduation, in large part because of the work they're doing on LinkedIn. And then from a development standpoint, if there's a fundraising arm of the institution, it's a great way to stay in touch with donors to understand what's happening in their world so that you can have much more substantive conversations with them when the time comes to meet face to face. So there's a number of different examples I could give, but I think career services, alumni, and development are three of the best places for colleges to spend their time when it comes to LinkedIn.
I hear about premium services with LinkedIn, and I can say from a personal experience point of view, I get a wee bit annoyed when I've posted my LinkedIn account and start to be solicited through premium services or through people that have signed up for premium services. Is there really a good way to sign up for premium services or use premium services? And maybe even for a student or a young graduate, is that something they should really consider?
Well, I think consider, yes, but I would throw out two prerequisites to getting a premium LinkedIn account. This is true for students, but it's true for those of us who are further along in our career as well. The number one thing that I encourage people to do before even thinking about paying for a LinkedIn membership is to make sure they're getting 100% usefulness out of the free version of LinkedIn. Because what I find is most people don't take advantage of some of the lowest hanging fruit on LinkedIn. And what they then do is they buy the premium membership, thinking that that's somehow going to transform what's possible for them, and it just doesn't happen. The analogy I always use, it's kind of like, you know, if you need to lose some weight and you get a gym membership, but you continue to eat, you know, Twinkies and other stuff that's not good for you all day, your results aren't going to change. You know, you got to feed LinkedIn on the free side before it's worth paying for the extra bells and whistles with the premium membership. The other thing I encourage people to do, if you are making 100% good use of the free membership and you're considering a premium membership, is to ask LinkedIn for a trial. they give those away pretty generously because ultimately they want people to experience it and sign up. So before you pay a dime, ask LinkedIn for a trial, take it for a very solid test drive, and then see if it's worth it. I wouldn't just jump into a free membership without first considering those things, into a premium membership, excuse me, without considering those things first.
Sure. Matt, you are aware that Twinkies are delicious, don't you? You're aware of
that, right? They are indeed. They are indeed. Yes.
Okay. No, I just say Twinkies, Oreos, all those sorts of things, really, really nice.
I want to go
another issue is who should you consider accepting as part of your LinkedIn family, so to speak?
Well, the answer is a little different depending on what it is you're trying to accomplish. And I think the prerequisite to everything on LinkedIn is deciding why you're there. Is your primary goal to find a job? Is your primary job to connect with new talent, to recruit people? Is your primary job to promote a product or service? Is your primary job to build a referral network? The reason answering that question is so important is because then it helps make everything else a little easier, including who to connect with. The answer to the question of who should you connect with is really based on where is the best opportunity for you. And I'll use myself as an example. For me, the biggest bang for my LinkedIn buck is building stronger relationships with the people I already know, my first degree connections, to invest in those relationships again and again, to stay top of mind, to build those connections. So that means I'm going to say no to some of the connection requests I get from people who are maybe out of my market, out of my industry, who aren't really going to be able to benefit from my expertise and who I really might not benefit from their expertise. So I'm pretty restrictive on LinkedIn. But if you're a recruiter or you're just getting started in your career or you're in sales, you might want to be more expansive with who you decide to connect with, because there may be some opportunities there in connecting with people you don't know, at least more so than there might be opportunities for someone like me who primarily depends upon referrals and inbound and all that good stuff.
One of my biggest issues with my LinkedIn account, and I'm telling myself here a little bit, is that I have over 500 connections, and I'll be honest with you, I really don't remember who all those people are. Is there a good way, after you've created connections and maybe your network has really grown, to manage your account so you can kind of keep track of who's who and keep track of really who's important in your connections, and maybe those people who are nice to know or nice to have in your family, but are not going to necessarily drive your career or your life forward?
Yeah, and that's a great point. You know, I really love the fact that LinkedIn gives me an inventory of all the people I know professionally, or at least at one point in my career knew professionally, was connected to in some way. I can go to my network and I can say, okay, who do I have a relationship with? But things change over time. You know, there may be someone I met at a conference 10 years ago, and it's no longer a relevant connection. That's why one of the things I recommend that all LinkedIn users do is about every 6 to 12 months to audit your connections, to go through and say, is this someone, for each connection, make a quick decision, is this someone with whom I still have a relationship, who is adding value to my newsfeed, who I think I might be able to help, or is it just another connection? You know, I always say about LinkedIn that it's about connecting with people, not just collecting people. So that demands that you go in and you kind of trim some of the weeds every now and then. That you go in and you say, okay, if my newsfeed is full of people who I might be able to help or who can help me, that's going to be better than if it's full of a lot of stuff that's maybe irrelevant. So it's that maintenance work that helps you keep a robust and relevant LinkedIn network.
Just something that when we originally set this up, and I was, again, fascinated with the subject, and I find LinkedIn very, very useful. What really attracted you to LinkedIn, and why do you think it's so important?
Well, you know, I'm old enough to remember a time when the stuff that is free on LinkedIn and really easy to get to used to be expensive and difficult. You know, for a short period in my career, I worked in economic development. And if you wanted to find the name, this is pre-internet, when you wanted to find the name of a CEO of a company, you know, you would pay a company like Dun & Bradstreet like $500 just to get the name of the CEO. With LinkedIn Advanced Search, which I think is an underutilized tool, you can mine that data in so many different ways that are so impactful. You can figure out who does what at a given company, who knows whom, who is responsible for what? And when I discovered that, I said, you know, this is pretty great. I really was drawn to LinkedIn because I think it's a great way to learn who you can help. And trying to be, you know, service oriented in my career, it's a great way to say, okay, there's something I think I have to offer. Now I can go find who does it. And I figured that out pretty early. And I don't know. LinkedIn is boring to a lot of people. But to me, it's so much more interesting than Facebook and Instagram and the other social media platforms. I have a personal presence there, but I honestly don't spend much time there because it's not as interesting to me as what's happening on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's great. What do you think is the efficacy, so to speak, of professors connecting with their students through LinkedIn? Is that a good idea or is that maybe too personal, maybe a too personal connection?
No, I think it's a great idea. I've always used as my rule of thumb that until they graduate from the institution where I teach, I would never connect with a student on Facebook, but I will absolutely connect with every student at the institution, regardless of whether or not they're in my class, because it's an opportunity to help someone, because it's an opportunity to understand the impact of the work that I'm doing, the institutions I'm connected are doing. So yes, I think it's a great idea. As a matter of fact, my son started college in the fall. He started last year. He's a freshman this year. Just wrapped up his freshman year. And he said, okay, you're always talking about LinkedIn. I'm going to start an account, but I don't know what to do. And I said, one of the first things you should do is reach out to professors at your institution, send them a connection request, because you're going to be able to learn from them. You're going to be able to stay connected with them after graduation, and it can help you in a number of ways. And I think it's also helpful for instructors to be able to see what their students are working on and to understand what's of interest to those students and bring some of that to the classroom.
Excellent, Anthony. Thank you. This is so great. Let's take a little break, and I can't wait to pick it up on the other side.
Awesome.
Just a short break so you can digest all this good stuff we're throwing at you here and remind you that this program is brought to you by West Virginia University's Online Data Marketing Communications Program. First of its kind in the country, first graduate program that focuses on strategic thinking, critical problem solving, and informed decision making. The Data Marketing Communications Program prepares you for your career by learning those innovative tactics and award-winning strategies that only our award-winning faculty can find and bring forward. So if you want to learn more, it's a bunch of letters, but it's an easy way to open up your education. Starts with dmc.wvu.edu. That's the Data Marketing Communications Program at West Virginia University. dmc.wvu.edu. All right, let's pick it back up. I'm frantically taking notes here today. Can I ask a question of your guest? Can I jump
Absolutely.
In?
Absolutely. Please step in.
Two different strategies I see businesses use with LinkedIn. One is to be an open, whatever you call it, open LinkedIn guy. Anybody, everybody, I'll link in with you, trying to get a network as big as possible. And the other say no. Just make it as narrow and focused as possible. Only people you really know and really want to stay connected with. What's the best strategy? Big or focused?
Well, it's a good question. There's an acronym that you'll see on LinkedIn every now and then next to a member's name. It's LION, L-I-O-N. That means LinkedIn Open Networker. That person is saying they'll accept the connection request from anyone, regardless of where they are in the world, regardless of what they do for a living. That isn't my style, because while social media has given us a lot of things, what it hasn't done is given us a 25th hour in the day. And I don't know about you guys, but I have trouble keeping relationships with the people who already matter in my network. So when I add people, all that does is it adds more stuff, more people who have access to me, more stuff in the newsfeed, more stuff to sort through. So I'm selective, but that's not right for everyone. I would throw out one caution to people. When it comes to connecting with people you don't know, you know, there's a lot of bad things happening on the internet, no surprise. And some of the folks, not all of them, but some of the folks who are open networkers are reselling that data. They're basically collecting people on LinkedIn, downloading that information and reselling it. So that's not the primary reason why I avoid being less selective with connections. For me, it's all about time and attention, that's finite, so I have to be selective in who I connect with. Again, your mileage may vary. If you're in sales, if you're in recruiting, you might have to be more expansive. But I think saying no every now and then is not just a fair thing to do. I think it's a good thing to do.
Fair enough. Okay. What do you think, Michael? Are you an open networker or are you a selective one?
Well, right now I am an open networker, but what I have found is because I have traveled so much over the last several years, I end up attracting people from some of the destinations where I've been, be it Singapore, Hong Kong, Spain, wherever, particularly India, because they think that's where I am. And of course, I am not. I'm at West Virginia University. I'm in the good old US of A. I tend to sometimes get requests from people that are really have no connection to what I'm doing, no interest in what I'm doing, and no one that I can really, I hate to say it, but even benefit from. And I don't want to sound too negative or too self-possessed or whatever, but unless I get a LinkedIn request from somebody who I think I can create a symbiotic relationship with, I am not going to accept that request. I used to accept everybody, any student request I get, or anyone that's attached to any of the universities that I work with, absolutely, I will accept that request. But beyond that, outside that, no. But much to that topic, we know how busy higher education professionals are right now. So why should they really consider, why should they really think about adding another thing to their plate, adding a LinkedIn to what they do?
Well, I think it's a matter of return on investment, right? You know, we all only have 24 hours in the day. Most of us, especially higher ed folks, are really busy. They're not looking for anything else to do. But what LinkedIn can do is really complement some of the other stuff you're doing really, really well already and make it even better. You know, when I think of, I wear multiple hats in the higher ed space. I'm a higher ed marketer. I serve on a board of trustees. I'm on an alumni board and I teach. And I find that using LinkedIn makes me better at all of those things, no question. And I haven't really added time to my workday. I've just replaced things that are less efficient or complemented other things that I do. So, you know, like anything else, I really want people to be intentional about social media. It's not just add another platform and add more time. It's think about where you're spending your time now. And all of us have bad habits. All of us are doing stuff that maybe isn't all that productive. So if you see utility in LinkedIn, and I would argue that for most higher ed professionals and most professionals of any stripe, there's benefit to being on LinkedIn, but something's got to give. What are the things that are inefficient and unproductive in your work life right now? Cut those out, add LinkedIn, and I think you'll see a good ROI. And I say that, and I want to make it clear, I don't work for LinkedIn. I don't own LinkedIn stock. I don't own a LinkedIn t-shirt. It really doesn't benefit me if more people use LinkedIn. But I do see in my professional life and in the work I've done with my clients that it really does make a bottom line difference.
Okay, let's get down to the nitty gritty here. What are the keys to success with LinkedIn? And where are we going to get results? How do we best get results? And possibly also just to kind of put a bow on this, where should institutions really start? What is the first step to really get this going?
Yeah, so the key to success on LinkedIn, no question, and it's one of the most neglected things on LinkedIn, is creating content. A lot of people, they build a profile, they make some connections, and then they just kind of sit back and wait for good things to happen. That obviously doesn't work. What I highly recommend is that individuals share status updates daily if possible, but at least weekly. What's the most interesting thing you have to share, whether it's something you created, something you read, on a given day? Share that out with the world. And what that does is it puts you in the newsfeed, or at least gives you a fighting chance of being in the newsfeed. Because if you don't do that, if you're just relying on your profile, people are first going to have to think of you out of thin air. Then they're going to have to find you in search. Then they're going to have to go to your profile. Why do just that when you can also create content and create top of mind awareness by being present and doing it with content that's good, that's helpful to people, that provides some insights? That's the key to success. And I'm astounded at how few people do that. But that's the difference maker to me. If you're creating content on LinkedIn, you get results. If you're not, you might not be getting the results you want. as far as where to begin, I think it starts with a plan, starts with a strategy. It starts with the institution getting all the relevant departments together and saying, how are we going to use this tool? How are we going to measure success? How are we going to collaborate? And how are we going to make it easy for our teams to access and create content? That's where it begins. A big conversation, just like you'd approach any other serious aspect of marketing. A plan for making it work, a plan for measuring success, and then a plan for adapting down the line as things change.
This is great. Can we just, we're about to very wrap it up here, but can we leave them with just one really great success story? How you know that this really works?
Yeah. About 6 or 7 years ago, I was on a nonprofit board, and one of the folks, and this is one of thousands of examples I could give, one of the folks on that board, we had sort of a wave across the room relationship. Didn't know her well. She didn't know me well. We went our separate ways. I left that board. She moved on to a different career path. 7 years later, I think it was, she reached out and said, hey, I'm now the executive director of a nonprofit. We're looking for some help with branding. Is your agency able to help? And the question I asked myself is, okay, I haven't talked to this person in 7 years, and even then we didn't have a tight relationship. Why'd she think of me? And the answer, as it is so often in my professional life, was LinkedIn. We weren't staying in touch in the old sense, but we were staying in touch on LinkedIn. She was seeing what I was sharing. I was following her as she went forward in her career. And when she needed someone to solve a problem like the problems my company solves, she thought of me first. That's what LinkedIn does. It does it for job seekers. It does it for recruiters. It does it for sales professionals. It does it for marketers. It does it for all kinds of professionals, and it happens every single day.
Well, this is absolutely great. I will tell you, I don't know if I've enjoyed a half an hour or learned as much in a half an hour as I have with this discussion today. I really want to thank Anthony Giuliano, and good luck in all things you do, and definitely sign up for LinkedIn, and good luck in your futures.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You've been listening to another episode of WVU Radio, right here on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners. Like you.